This is Jody Apple.
Welcome to Are You Listening? This week's program continues the study that we introduced last week with the question, how does Jesus save? Our sharper focus has been learning how we are saved by the blood of Christ. Understanding that Jesus saves is certainly valuable, but it does not tell us exactly how Jesus saves. For some, the how question may not be as important as the that. The key, why do we need to know how Jesus saves if we already know that he does so? That's a good question. But before answering it, let me ask another one. What if two people believe that Jesus saves in two very different and very opposing ways? Is it enough just to know that Jesus saves in this case? Or would you want to explore how and why their viewpoints differ? By digging deeper and by understanding the how part of salvation through Christ, it can help us understand the that part of salvation. The how part of salvation by Christ, specifically the hows and the whys of the Jesus baptism connections, prompts our study this week. Today's program is Jesus, Baptism, and the Death, Burial, Resurrection Connection. Previously, in examining the Jesus, Baptism, and the Righteousness/Obedience Connection, we briefly examined the baptism of Christ as it is presented in Matthew chapter 3 and its connection with Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. As we've already noted, in today's program, we will give consideration to Jesus, Baptism, and the death, burial, resurrection connection by focusing on three key passages, 1 Corinthians 15, Romans 6, and Colossians 2. By studying these passages, we hope to have a better understanding of both Jesus' connection to baptism as well as our own connection. The first passage that we will consider today is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. It reads as follows, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." In earlier lessons, we examined the importance of the gospel as summarized in this passage. First, the gospel was declared to the Corinthians by Paul. Second, the gospel was received by the Corinthians. They heard it, they believed it, and they obeyed it. We see that in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, when the latter part of the passage says, "And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized." Third, the gospel saved the Corinthians. And fourth, the gospel would continue to save the Corinthians as they continued to hold fast that word which I, that is Paul, preached to you unless you believed in vain. The gospel that Paul delivered to the Corinthians centered on three core facts that the Corinthians needed to believe in or believe on and surrender to. First, Christ's death. Notice verse 3, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Second was Christ's burial, and that he was buried, verse 4. And third, Christ's resurrection, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, also verse 4. Note also that Paul said this, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received." What Paul delivered to the Corinthians did not originate with Paul. Paul received the content, that is, the basic facts, principles, and practices of the message that he presented to the Corinthians. He received it by direct revelation from the Christ. That's the same point, using the same word, that he makes in the Galatian epistle when he says this in Galatians 1:12, "For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." The significance of this passage for our present discussion is as follows. The gospel's foundational content, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, saved the Corinthians. More specifically, it saved the Corinthians when they heard it, when they believed and received it, when they acted on it, and when they lived consistently with it. Finally, the gospel that they received from Paul originated in the teachings of Christ himself. The next passage that we will explore, in a bit more detail, will show how the death, burial, and resurrection elements of the gospel applies to salvation. That next passage is Romans chapter 6, the first six verses. Here's how it reads. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. 1 Corinthians 15 identified the gospel's foundational elements, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Christ. It also connected those foundational elements with salvation and continued faithfulness. But 1 Corinthians 15 did not detail how the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ connected in the way that Romans 6 does. Though there are certainly other passages in 1 Corinthians that touch on those connections, chapter 12, verse 13, for example, we see them more directly in Romans 6. In that passage, Romans 6, we note this: we are not to continue sinning in order to increase God's grace, verse 1. Those who died to sin should not live in sin any longer, verse 2. Physical life and death are antithetical, that is, they are polar opposites. If you are dead, you are not alive, and if you are alive, you cannot be dead. The same thing applies spiritually. Those who die to sin cannot be alive to sin. That is, they cannot be living for sin, and those who live to or for sin certainly have not died to sin. Paul's emphasis on life and death and sin has a point. Those who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, Romans 6:3. Our death to sin coincided with our baptism into Christ. When we are baptized into Christ, the physical act of baptism coincides with our spiritual surrender to God through Christ and puts what we used to be, the old man of sin, to death. That's the thought reflected here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, and Colossians 3, 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Note what Paul does in this passage. He connects the core elements of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that we saw in 1 Corinthians 15, with baptism. The first connection that Paul makes is the death connection. When we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death, 6:3 of Romans. But the death connection in baptism does not end the parallel. In Romans 6:4, Paul declares that we are buried with Christ through baptism. That's the second connection. The first element of the gospel, Jesus died according to the Scripture. The first parallel, we die to sin and are baptized into Jesus' death. The second element of the gospel, Jesus was buried. The second parallel, we are buried with him in baptism. Romans 6:4 also lists a third connection. The third element of the gospel from 1 Corinthians 15, Christ rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. And the third parallel in Romans, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Christ's resurrection from the grave connects with us when we, having been buried with him through baptism into death, are raised to walk in newness of life. Because we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, 6:5 of Romans. What does this mean? It means that we cannot receive the blessings connected with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection if we fail to connect with and obey that gospel. The scriptures warn us about refusing to obey the gospel in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, and again in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. In our next lesson, we will study Jesus' baptism and the circumcision / putting off sin connection. In that lesson, we will look more closely at Colossians 2, 6-14. But before we close today, note the parallels between verses 11, 12, and 13 of Colossians 2 and what we just noted in Romans 6. That passage reads, "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Paul makes the same case here that he makes in Romans. The Colossian Christians, like the Roman Christians, were buried with Christ in baptism, were raised with Christ through faith in God, were once dead but now alive together with Christ, and were forgiven of their sins. If the Bible establishes a connection between the gospel's core elements, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and baptism, who are we to argue against it? Baptism, biblically understood and practiced, never amounts to salvation by water, salvation by meritorious works, salvation without grace. Baptism, when properly understood and practiced, connects us with Christ's redemptive message by completing in our own obedience what Christ showed in his obedience, namely, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection.